is Christian Questions.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "Beware of rashness, but with energy and sleepless vigilance, go forward and give us victories." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.net.
So on behalf of myself, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're glad you've chosen to spend some time with us. And Jonathan, what is our topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our subject is Glory to God, Christ is Risen. And our theme text is found in Psalms 24, verse 10. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory.
It is Resurrection Sunday, and we are going to be telling the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection, so we'll not be taking on-air calls this morning, but we will be having you, if you want to call in and leave comments, you can certainly do that with our screener at 866-985-4255. And Jonathan, a quick sidelight before we start. We have experienced great growth in listeners and followers all over the country and around the world online. To operate this program for multiple markets takes a lot of help from volunteers, producers, and management. We do have an important announcement for our Tennessee and Kentucky listeners on WNOX, News Talk 100.3 FM. Beginning Sunday, May 1st, we will begin broadcasting only the second hour of our program in your area. This was a difficult decision based on our current financial and advertising support. So beginning May 1st, for WNOX listeners only, you can pick up the second hour of our live broadcast at 7 a.m. The first hour is available to you live online at ChristianQuestions.net. Our plan is to be on the air long term with WNOX, and our plan is to eventually take that 6 a.m. hour back. So stay tuned every week at 7 to 100.3 FM, and you can hear our first hour live online at ChristianQuestions.net, where full programs are available anytime. Jonathan, we're going to be telling a story this morning, and this story started long ago, about 2,000 years ago when he came. The world was going on just as before when he began preaching at age 30. He died young, at 33 and a half, unjustly crucified for deeds he did not commit. He had no family, he personally wrote no books or lessons to be handed down through the ages, yet his life and his death are the most celebrated in all of history. Why? Because he changed human destiny. Now, how could the change have been good? For 2,000 years later, the world seems worse off than ever. Well, his actions and teachings in those three and a half years of preaching were only the beginning, for he started a new cycle in human destiny. In human history, the results of which will be clearly seen and understood in due time. For now, let's just take some time this morning and honor the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of men. Part one of our story, Ages of Preparation. Any truly effective plan requires truly effective planning, especially if the plan is designed to be eternal. God, in his foresight, knew the value of choice, the value of consequences, and the value of experience. God created us in his image and did so for the purpose of having an earthly family that would forever live in unity and perfection. His plan for this unity and perfection was to be the heartfelt choice of the human race, so that he gave us choice, consequences, and experience, so that we might unequivocally learn and choose his way in the end. Let's take a look at the ages-long preparation and thought of God's glorious plan.
Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
So the preparation began even before earthly civilization began. Now the preparation continued with the very first human beings. They were given choices.
Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate."
With their choices, they were given consequences.
Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you, more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel."
So God's ages-long preparation included a prophecy of hope, even with the first sin.
You're listening to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We will not be taking any calls on the air this Resurrection Sunday. You can go to ChristianQuestions.net to get the full text of today's program by entering a free subscription to CQ Rewind, the full edition.
Continuing, time passed and God's favor would find Abraham. He would prove himself to be a dramatic example of choosing God first. This time the consequences for such an action were blessing and promise.
Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham and said, "By myself have I sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will multiply your seed as the stars of heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice."
Time passed, and favor would pass from father Abraham to son Isaac to grandson Jacob, as God prepared a generational trust in his name and his will. Now God's preparation would focus on a nation born of Jacob. This nation of Israel would need a law to guide them.
Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise has been made.
So the law was there so sin could be identified until the promised seed would come. Moses was there so the people could choose to understand God through him, and yet as great a leader as Moses was, he too was but another step in the ages-long preparation of God's plan. Moses himself said in Deuteronomy,
"The Lord said to me, 'I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him.'"
Moses even knew that he was to be a forerunner of one much greater than himself. And just as Moses was the forerunner of Christ, the law was the forerunner of faith. God's ages-long preparation gave ample time for learning, observing, and for experiencing the long road back to their Creator. And we continue in Galatians.
"Before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus."
So, with the law as a tutor in place, God's ages-long preparation would continue, now adding a deeper dimension of prophecy regarding the redemption to come. We read in Acts,
"But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Some of these prophecies would detail another forerunner of Christ, the one who would prepare the people for their Messiah. We read in Isaiah,
"A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken."
This prophet would be the first sent in over 400 years. John's message would lead to Christ.
I hear the voice of one crying, I hear the voice of one crying,
then are you baptizing, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
So we can see that God, in his eternal foresight and wisdom, meticulously prepared for the Messiah to come at just the right time to bring the planned redemption for the human race.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, glory to God, Christ is risen. On the final night of his life, how would Jesus spend his time?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, glory to God, Christ is risen. No on-air calls this morning, but you can leave your comments with our screener at 866-985-4255. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and our website is christianquestions.net.
JonathanStamps.com is partnering with Christian Questions Radio. There's a specific website for Christian Questions listeners to use to order stamps for your home or office, 11stamps.com. When you order here, a percentage is donated to our radio ministry. And the great thing is, this is a service that's so easy to use. No longer do you have to put up with slow service or long lines at the post office. Just click and order quick and help out Christian Questions. Tell your friends to help support Christian Questions by going to 11stamps.com. That's numbers 11STAMPS.com for all your postage needs. And Jonathan, we also have an important announcement for our Tennessee and Kentucky listeners. On WNOX News Talk 100.3 FM, beginning Sunday, May 1st, we'll begin broadcasting only the second hour of our program in your area. This was a difficult decision, believe me, based on our current financial and advertising support. So beginning May 1st, for WNOX listeners only, you can pick up the second hour of our live broadcast at 7 a.m. The first hour is available to you live online at ChristianQuestions.net. Now, back to our story. Part two of our story, The Last Days of Preparation. In our last segment, we looked at a 4,000-year-plus period of preparation that God put in place for the purpose of laying the groundwork for Messiah's sacrifice. Jesus came on the scene and at 30 years of age went to work fulfilling the task before him. 3.5 years later, he had flawlessly completed the living sacrifice portion of the mission, and now what was left was to fulfill the dying part of the sacrifice mission, which was necessary to pay the ransom. We now enter into Jesus' experience on the final night of his life. How would you spend your time if you knew that your next experiences would be torture and death? Let's see how Jesus chose to spend his time. His first order of business was a much-needed lesson in humility and servitude for those who followed him.
Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he called to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." "You shall never wash up." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head."
This simple lesson of washing their feet was most profound. Jesus, being their leader, their teacher, and their mentor, should have had his feet washed by somebody, yet they all deemed themselves of too high a station to perform such a task. So Jesus did it. He humbled himself to the lowest position among them to show them that they too could find the greatness of God's favor if only they would be small in their own eyes, if only they would stop worrying about what others might think. If only they would seek God's approval over the approval of men. If only they would serve one another. After getting their attention by humbly washing their feet, Jesus next reveals his betrayer.
When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?"
This would have been a shocking revelation, even to the point of disbelief. So Jesus showed them.
Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him."
Think about it. Jesus' betrayer leaves the room to betray him, and his reaction is not one of hate or disappointment or frustration. No, his reaction is one of praise. Now he could glorify God for the machinery of betrayal and death were irrevocably set on their course, and this is what he had come to do. Jesus, now seeing the final stages of his life unfolding, had a choice as to what to do next. What would you or I do at such a time? For Jesus, the choice was a simple one. He was so motivated by love that he chose to focus on giving strength to his disciples.
Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times.
Another shocking revelation that bordered on the impossible. How could Peter, the leader of the followers, Peter, the outspoken one, Peter, the one who even walked on water for a moment, how could he deny his Lord? Jesus told him to warn him. Jesus told him because he knew what was at stake.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that you may be sifted as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Jesus continues his encouragement. He now focuses on the future unity that they would all share as a result of his coming sacrifice.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You're listening to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We are not able to take calls for the Resurrection Sunday program. You can go to ChristianQuestions.net to get the full text of today's program by entering a free subscription to CQ Rewind, the full edition.
As they are walking to Gethsemane, Jesus continues to prepare for his death by preparing those he loves. Thus far, he has taught them an almost embarrassing lesson in humility and servitude, told them hard truths while encouraging them, and talked of their future inheritance together. Next, he would teach them about the simplicity of living their everyday life by abiding in him through the tender lesson of the vine and the branches.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing.
With this graphic lesson of how to live every day, Jesus now moves on to other trials that are upon them, but not without sharing the inspiration for victory.
The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. in the world, you face persecution. But take courage. I have conquered the world.
What, Faith? I have conquered the world. So in the midst of the uncertainty that the disciples were experiencing, and with the weight of the world that Jesus was carrying upon his shoulders, Jesus took this precious time to encourage and strengthen his brethren. He spoke plainly to them of the coming tempest and told them to stand unafraid, for whatever it is that they would be faced with, he had already overcome it. He reminded them of the necessity for humility and faith. Jesus showed them the way. Jesus' final act of preparation that night was prayer. His prayer, as recorded in John 17, is a touching look into his heart, into his love for his Father and his love for us.
The hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority over all people, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life means to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made. I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they belong to you.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples.
We are telling the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus this Resurrection Sunday morning. We are not taking on-air calls. You can call in with your comments and thoughts to our call screener at 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are in the second segment of our story, the preparation of Jesus. Jesus was now ready. He was now prepared to take the next very, very trying and difficult steps.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject, glory to God, Christ is risen. 1 hour before the betrayal, full of sorrow and anguish, Jesus, but why?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, glory to God, Christ is risen. No on-air calls this morning, but you can leave your comments with our screener at 866-985-4255. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, we do have an important announcement for our Tennessee and Kentucky listeners. We have experienced great growth in listeners and followers all over the country, around the world, online. To operate this program for multiple markets takes a lot of help from volunteers, producers, and management. So for our Kentucky and Tennessee listeners on WNOX News Talk 100.3 FM, beginning next Sunday, May 1st, we will begin broadcasting only the second hour of our program in your area. This was a difficult decision based on our current financial and advertising support. So, May 1st, for WNOX listeners only, you can pick up the second hour of our live broadcast at 7 a.m. The first hour is available to you live online at christianquestions.net. Our long-term plan is to be with WNOX and eventually take that 6 a.m. hour back, so stay tuned every week at 7 to 100.3 FM and you can hear the first hour live online at christianquestions.net where full programs are available anytime, where the conversation and exclusive audio and your comments are always continuing. ChristianQuestions.net. And folks, thank you so much for your support. We are continuing our story. We are looking at part three. Part one was God's ages-long preparation. Part two was Jesus' preparation. Part three of our story is Gethsemane and darkness. Jesus' time had come. The ages-long preparations of Almighty God meshed precisely with the last hours of preparation of Jesus, and now a night of deep and foreboding darkness was underway. Jesus and his disciples made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, a place that Jesus often went to meditate, focus, and pray.
And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here with me." He went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done."
Just as a storm rises over Galilee, the storm of trial came quickly upon Jesus, as he knew that betrayal was imminent. His instincts had led him to pray for the physical strength and the spiritual courage necessary to overcome. And pray he did, over and over and over.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While Jesus was yet speaking to his followers, a crowd came to the garden. This crowd was led by a trusted friend, Judas, one of his 12 closest followers, one who had been deeply involved in his teaching and who had seen many miracles.
Judas approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was happening to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he, so if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that had been spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me."
Even now, the power of God flowed through Jesus. He could have easily walked away. He chose not to.
Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword away, back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed it. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple, police, and the elders who had come for him. "Have you come out with swords and clubs, as it were, if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
So Jesus allowed himself to be arrested as he arranged for the freedom of his disciples. The soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police bound him, and then they took him away.
You're listening to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We will not be taking any calls on air this Resurrection Sunday. You can go to ChristianQuestions.net to get the full text of today's program by entering a free subscription to CQ Rewind, the full edition.
Other programs are there available as well. Jesus was now on his way to Annas, the son-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. Following behind in the distance were Peter and John, no doubt bewildered and unsure. Judas, their friend. Judas betrayed him? What was going to happen? Surely this must be some kind of misunderstanding. Once they got to the courtyard of the high priest, John had to arrange for Peter's entrance with the woman by the gate. Once inside, Peter settled by a fire with others to keep warm.
And a certain maid, seeing him as he sat in the light of the fire and looking steadfastly upon him, said, "This man was with him." But he denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not."
Peter must have surprised himself. Sure, he was scared, and sure, he wanted to stay as close to Jesus as possible. But deny that he knew him? How could he? Perhaps he rationalized that anonymity was necessary to stay close by. So Peter sat quietly, maybe feeling a bit more self-conscious than before. He watched from a distance as Jesus was being questioned about his teachings. He watched and he waited.
Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not."
Again, he denied Jesus. What was he thinking? Where was his courage? Where was the Peter who had boldly left all to follow Jesus? The Peter who would speak for his fellow disciples? The Peter who would stare fear in the face, especially when with Jesus?
And after the space of about 1 hour, one of the slaves of the high priest confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, "Before the cock crows, this day thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly.
All at once, Peter's life had fallen to pieces. Shattered upon the rocks of his own foolish pride, ground to dust by his own fear, and blown to the four corners of the earth by the winds of despair. Once, not so long ago, he had stood side by side with his master, willing to do anything, willing to go anywhere at Jesus' bidding. Now he could not even so much as acknowledge his discipleship. And Jesus knew. Jesus saw him deny. He heard him deny. And now it was too late. All that was left for Peter was the bitterness and the tears of regret. It was too late.
And the men that held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and they blindfolded him and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is he that struck thee?" And many other things spake they against him, reviling him.
to be mocked and beaten. This would be the order of events for the rest of this fateful night for Jesus, right up until his death. He was later taken to Pilate's headquarters in the very early morning, where Pilate could find no fault with him and sought his release. The gathered crowd, led by the Pharisees, though, they had different ideas.
Then Pilate went back outside to the people and said to them,
I cannot find any reason to condemn him, but according to the custom you have, I always set free a prisoner for you during the Passover. Do you want me to set free for you the King of the Jews?
They answered him with a shout.
Give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas!
Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped. The soldiers made a crown out of thorny branches and put it on his head. Then they put a purple robe on him and came to him and said, Long live the King of the Jews. And they went up and slapped him.
Pilate would now have Jesus beaten again. They put a crown of thorns on his head and dressed him in a purple robe. Pilate would try to release Jesus, but Jesus himself would say nothing in his own defense.
Pilate went back out once more and said to the crowd,
Look, I will bring him out here to you to let you see that I cannot find any reason to condemn him. Look, here is the man.
So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Do you want me to crucify your king?
The only king we have is the emperor.
Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified.
So Jesus is now on his way to crucifixion. Unjustly accused, unjustly tried and abused, he opened not his mouth in his own defense, but he went quietly, as a sheep goes quietly to the slaughter, for his mission required it of him. So in this first hour, folks, what we have done is looked at the beginning of the story of Jesus' death, crucifixion, and resurrection. We looked back at the ages-long preparation that the God of heaven had done long before the foundations of the earth, the Lamb was slain. And then God worked through his plan through the ages, bringing his favor to a certain few so that they could pass it on from generation to generation, Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the nation of Israel. And through their favor, of course, they had punishments and difficulties. And through them, though, came the seed which was to bless all of the families of the earth, and that was to be Jesus the Messiah. And he comes on the scene, and he grows up to be a man, and at 30 years old he begins to preach, and after just three and a half years, he has fulfilled his mission and now is ready to complete the mission. The mission had to be complete with perfection. It had to be completed with exactness. And so preparing for this last night of difficulty and torture and eventual death, what does he do? He spends his time building up those that he loves. He spends his energy teaching them, encouraging them, warning them, helping them, praying for them. And then he goes alone to meet the torture, to meet the whippings and the beating and the abuse. And in the next hour, we'll look at the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the redemption to follow. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again in the second hour to continue the story. But until then, glory to God. Christ is risen. We'll be back after the news and all that. But till then, think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Winston Churchill once said, "Victory at all costs, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. And this is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And, Jonathan, what is our topic this morning?
Well, Rick, our statement is, "Glory to God, Christ is risen." And our theme text is found in Psalms chapter 24, verse 10. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory.
And we are telling the story of the crucifixion and resurrection. We're not taking on-air calls this morning, but if you would like to call in, you can certainly leave your comments with our screener at 866-985-4255. Jonathan, we have a quick sidelight announcement here. We've experienced great growth in listeners and followers all over the country and around the world online with Christian Questions. To operate this program for multiple markets takes a lot of help from volunteers, producers, and management. An important announcement for our Tennessee and Kentucky listeners on WNOX, News Talk 100.3 FM, beginning Sunday, May 1st, will we begin broadcasting only the second hour of our program in your area. This was a very difficult decision that we had to make based on our current financial and advertising support. So beginning May 1st, for WNOX listeners only, you can pick up the second hour of our live broadcast at 7 by going to 100.3 FM. The first hour is still available to you live online at ChristianQuestions.net, where our conversation, exclusive audio, and your comments are always continuing. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net, and thanks so much for your support. And Jonathan, other things.
If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us on the web. That's ChristianQuestions.net. And we have many archive programs you can listen to. And that's the best way to get in touch. Again, ChristianQuestions.net. And check out CQ Rewind. We have the summary version and the full edition. The summary version includes excerpts from the program, transcripts, and scriptural citations. Now, that's available as a free download. Now, the full edition includes comprehensive excerpts from the programs, fully quoted scriptures, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Also, free of charge, just sign up. Check them both out. ChristianQuestions.net, CQ Rewind, you heard the program, now see it as well.
And especially with CQ Rewind this week, folks, you can literally get the entire transcript of the program on there because we are telling a story, an important story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So we are going to continue our story. Part 4 of our story, crucifixion. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street. But the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. Mm-hmm. vivía en Jerusalén. Los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver a
And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children.
And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written.
And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left.
And they passed by, reviling him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, he cannot save himself. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and then we will believe him. He trusted God. Let God deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.
Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith him to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And after that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. And one of the malefactors, which were hung, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, but we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, our Lord, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee today, Thou shalt be with me in paradise.
We continue reading from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. And yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And some of them that stood by when they heard it, said, Behold, he calls Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and he put it on a reed, and he gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he bowed his head, and he gave up the spirit.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance among them, with Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses and Salome. Those used to follow him and provide for him when he was in Galilee, and there they were with many women who had come up with them to Jerusalem.
It was in this manner that Jesus the Christ was crucified, and it was in this manner that Jesus the Christ did die. Isaiah 53:6-7. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. We're going through the story of Jesus' resurrection, a crucifixion and resurrection. We're taking no calls live this morning because of the solemnity of the story that we're telling.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, Glory to God, Christ is risen. Jesus was buried in a new tomb. Joseph and Nicodemus wrapped the lifeless body. Confusion and sadness for his followers.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, Glory to God, Christ is risen. No on-air calls this morning, but you can leave your comments with our screener at 866-985-4255. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and our website is christianquestions.net.
Folks, you can help Christian Questions order Dish Network, save a ton of money every month, and help Christian Questions Radio grow. Plans start at just over $20 a month with a wide variety of channels, and they're fully digital. They have the most high-definition options at the best prices. Dish Network also allows you to add specialty channels without buying huge packages. There is no equipment to buy. Start saving today with Dish Network. Help support Christian Questions by calling the Christian Questions Dish Network number 800-249-8229. That's 800-249-8229. Dish Network. Give it a try. We do have an important announcement for our Tennessee and Kentucky listeners on WNOX News Talk 100.3 FM. Beginning Sunday, May 1st, we will begin broadcasting only the second hour of our program in your area. This was a very difficult decision based on our current financial and advertising support. So beginning May 1st, for WNOX listeners only, you can pick up the second hour of our live broadcast on 100.3 FM WNOX. The first hour is available to you live online at christianquestions.net, where the conversation, exclusive audio, and your comments are always continuing. christianquestions.net. And folks, thank you so much for your support. We're now going back to our story, part five of our story, resurrection and forgiveness. There was a sense of urgency to end this crucifixion scene. The urgency was not driven by any form of compassion or mercy, but by the fact that sundown was the beginning of both the Sabbath and the Passover, which made this particular Sabbath a higher and holier celebration than normal. With the tens of thousands of extra people in Jerusalem for the Passover, the spectacle of the bodies on crosses, especially Jesus, had the potential to cause a stir amongst the people that the Pharisees did not want to deal with. Thus, the urgency was only for the Pharisees' protection. So Jesus was taken down to be buried in a new tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph and Nicodemus respectfully wrapped the lifeless body with myrrh and aloes and linen cloths and laid it to rest. They then rolled the stone over the door. All was now quiet, and the following day, at the request of the Pharisees, the guards arrived, sealed the tomb, and watched, lest someone should steal the body and claim resurrection.
And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he saith unto them, "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him."
The angel continued,
"Remember how we spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you."
Here was to begin a new frenzy of activity. For the resurrection of Jesus would not only energize the fragile followers he left behind, it would send a shockwave through all the nation. Mary would be the first to actually speak to the risen Lord. Peter and John would soon race to the sepulchre, only to find it empty. Now the realization of what Jesus had said all along would begin to sink in. He is the Son of God. He is risen. He is the long-awaited Messiah.
You're listening to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We will not be taking any calls on air this Resurrection Sunday. You can go to ChristianQuestions.net to get the full text of today's program by entering a free subscription by CQ Rewind, the full edition.
The resurrection was truly a more remarkable event than ever could have been imagined, just as Jesus said it would be. With all of the excitement in the following days and weeks, the Apostle Peter would not be forgotten by his Lord. Jesus would pick up the pieces of Peter's shattered life, rejuvenate his faith, and help him to break the chains of the darkness within him. This is Amazing Grace.
I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did I
Redemption comes through forgiveness, and forgiveness comes through grace. These are the gifts that Peter was given by Jesus, for Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew his potential, and Jesus knew that deep within Peter lived a fearless and abiding courage. So Peter is given a glorious redemption, and now it would be Peter's turn to rise to the challenge of leadership as he would stand upon the shoulders of his Lord.
We'll be forever.
Redemption is a powerful force.
How can I keep from singing? My life flows on in endless song. Above earth's lamentation, I hear the sweet, the far off hymn that hails a new creation through all the tumult and the strife. I hear the music ring. Peace of Christ makes fresh my heart. A fountain never springs free. All things are mine since I am His. How can I keep from singing? Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing?
Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And so the resurrection begins the process of redemption, first one by one, and eventually everyone by everyone.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, glory to God, Christ is risen. What did the life and death of Jesus really bring? We say that we have redemption, but what does that really mean?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, glory to God, Christ is risen. No on-air calls this morning, but you can leave your comments with our screener at 866-985-4255. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And we do have an important announcement for our Tennessee and Kentucky listeners on WNOX, News Talk 100.3 FM. We've been repeating it because we want you to get it. Next Sunday, May 1st, we will begin broadcasting only the second hour of our program in your area. This was a difficult decision to come to. It was based on our current financial and advertising support. So beginning May 1st, for WNOX listeners only, you can pick up the second hour of our live broadcast at 7 a.m. by going to WNOX 100.3 FM. The first hour is available to you live online at ChristianQuestions.net. So please make a note of that for next week. We're going to be going to part six of our story, and that is entitled Redemption. The following reading is from The Life of Christ by Fenton Farrar. At the moment when Christ died, nothing could have seemed more abjectly weak, more pitifully hopeless, more absolutely doomed to scorn and extinction and despair than the church which he had founded. It numbered but a handful of weak followers, of which the boldest had denied his Lord with blasphemy, and the most devoted had forsaken him and fled. They were poor. They were ignorant. They were hopeless. They could not claim a single synagogue or a single sword. How was it that these dull and ignorant men, with their cross of wood, triumphed over the deadly fascinations of sensual mythologies, conquered kings and their armies, and overcame the world? What was it that thus caused strength to be made perfect out of abject weakness? There is one and only one possible answer: the resurrection from the dead.
And oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
You're listening to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick. We will not be taking any calls on air this Resurrection Sunday. You can go to ChristianQuestions.net to get the full text of today's program by entering a free subscription to CQ Rewind, the full edition.
What did the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus really bring? We say that we have been redeemed, but what does that really mean? Well, let's look at a number of scriptures and prophecies that describe redemption to us.
In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Let's notice the elements here. We have Jesus and the church, who are his called out ones. Then it says that God, through Jesus and his sacrifice, reconciled and made peace with all things. This is much more than the church. Redemption is bigger.
For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ.
Here we have the solid foundation of justice as the basis for redemption. All of us were subject to death because we were born in Adam. Therefore, because Jesus died for Adam, a perfect man for a perfect man, justice demands all of us are subject to the resurrection in Christ.
And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
The God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Where? Well, where are those kings in that verse? Here on earth. Not only does this prophecy speak of the setting up of a kingdom, it speaks of a kingdom that will never be destroyed. How can this be? It is a result of the redemption of Jesus. No wonder Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, redemption brings blessing. So what will this kingdom look like?
But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, "Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem."
These are specifics about the future of earth. There will be many nations. They will all be seeking after God. They will walk in godly paths with Israel as their example.
"And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever."
God will teach the world the ways of peace. Swords to plowshares, spears to pruning hooks, no more war. Rather, they will all dwell in peace, each with the ability to provide for themselves, all while living under God. So while those faithful to Jesus now will have an inheritance in heaven, the everybody else, the ones that are most often seeming to be left behind, will have an inheritance on earth once they prove faithful to Jesus through the day of judgment. Praise be to God for his unspeakable unspeakable gift. So, Jonathan, in these last couple of hours, we've walked through the story of Jesus' last day, his preparation, God's ages-long preparation, Jesus' preparation for his crucifixion, how he prepared his followers, the night of darkness, the crucifixion, resurrection, redemption, and now redemption for all.
How thankful we should be.
It is an amazing story that gives us an amazing sense of relief. That the track of this world is not a track of eternal doom. It is a track of temporary doom.
Because of love.
Because of love. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father forever. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning as we talked about the greatest story ever told, the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ransom for all men to be testified in due time, the story that changes the course of human events for all of eternity, for all of humanity, forever and ever. Surely that last hymn summed it up. And crown him Lord of all. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But until then, glory to God. Christ is risen. Think about it.